Welcome to the Wealth Evolution Club podcast. Our mission is to help you evolve from rich to wealthy and create a life of freedom that's not dependent on a paycheck. Here is your host, investor, entrepreneur, and an influencer, Dr. Meetu Bhatnagar, CCIM.
Hello, Wealth Nation. You are listening to the Wealth Evolution Club podcast. Our club shares the success stories, explore various loopholes, secrets, and skills that help you evolve from rich to wealthy. You might be wondering, why rich is not wealthy? That's because that fat income or paycheck is gone in paying mortgage of luxury homes, luxury cars, high taxes, and paying credit card bills to maintain the affluent lifestyle. You are working so hard for money and hardly have freedom to do what you enjoy the most. For example, spending time with your loved ones, going on vacation, or anything else that you cherish. After all, being rich is not about monetary wealth. It's about being truly satisfied, being truly happy, and having a balanced professional, personal, and social life. Being contented with what you have and not worrying about work, future, or how to earn more to save more for retirement. Our podcast mission is to create a spark, help you evolve from rich to wealthy, and inspire you to live a life filled with freedom, fun, and fulfillment. Wealth Nation, please make sure to like our page, Wealth Evolution Club, and join our free Facebook community, Wealth Evolution Club. Hello, Wealth Nation. It's a beautiful Saturday morning in Dallas, Texas, and I'm your host, Meetu Bhatnagar. Today, our guest of honor is Dr. Usha Peri. Hi, Dr. Peri. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Meetu. Thanks for inviting me.
Dr. Peri, thank you for allowing us an opportunity to host you on our Wealth Evolution Club podcast. It's a privilege and honor to have you. So, Wealth Nation, our guest today, let me tell you a brief about her. She is a board certified in internal medicine and nephrology. She is the founding partner of NTKDA and practices in Louisville, Flower Mound area for past 20 years. She held many leadership roles in her practice as well as affiliated hospitals. She holds a master's in healthcare management for physicians from UTD Naveen Jindal School of Management. As a physician, she understands the mechanics of physical and mental health from Western perspective. As a yoga practitioner for over 15 years, she brings a holistic element to health and healing. Usha has been associated with the Art of Living Foundation since 2003. Her life was touched in a positive way by the tools and techniques taught by the foundation, and she decided to pay forward by becoming a volunteer faculty. She teaches workshops for kids 8 to 18, as well as adults and healthcare professionals. She is married for 28 years and has two grown children and a dog. She loves to read, travel, cook, and inspire people towards positivity through volunteer activity in the community. If you can win over the mind, you can win over the world. Sri Sri Ravi Shankarji. Jai Gurudev, Dr. Peri.
Jai Gurudev, Meetu.
Would you please share your story with the Wealth Nation and your journey towards mind, body, and breath?
Sure. We know we could talk for hours on that. In the interest of time, I'll keep it fairly short. As a kid, I was born in South India in a nice family, cozy, small family with large friends and extended family. I had a great childhood. I joined medical school when I was 16, graduated at 22, got married, had my first child. As a child, I loved mystery books and getting to the root of a problem. And luckily, I got into a career which also prides in diagnostics. Unless we have a diagnosis, we can't really treat anything. So, you know, with that background, I entered young adulthood, marriage, relationships, new country, new beginnings with medicine in the West, right? That's when I started facing some hardships in life, some difficult situations. And it never made any sense to me because I was doing everything by the book as I was taught, and yet things were just not falling in place. So I went about exploring deeper. My journey started with listening to a podcast like yours. I guess back in the day, it wasn't called a podcast, but it was a news article on NPR called Negative Emotions. And that book was co-written by Dalai Lama, and I forget the name of the other psychiatrist who helped write that book. And the thing in that that caught my mind was, in the West, it's a negative emotion when you act on it. You could get angry, but as long as you learn how to manage your anger, it's okay. And you're going about your life professionally. But in the East, Dalai Lama said, any negative emotion is that takes you away from your centered state. You know, so anger is anger. It takes away the peace of mind. That really stuck with me because I was dealing with a lot of negative emotions. You know, I was doing everything right by the book. Things were not falling in place. I would get angry. I would get frustrated. And then it would turn into bitterness and sorrow. It was lasting longer. If it's short-lived and it goes away, then it's fine, right? So that's how my journey started. And quite by accident, I came upon The Art of Living back then, the basic course, learned Sudarshan Kriya, started practicing it, and I started noticing that I was able to manage my negative emotions so much better. And it started allowing me to do all the things I wanted to do in my life. As you can tell, I am a high-achieving person. I have lots of interests and love to actually implement them in my life and create something out of it. And my abilities and skills have only grown exponentially from this. And my ability to touch people's lives has grown exponentially from this. To be a role model, I have seen that grow as well with time. And most importantly, doing all of this, I'm not burning myself out. I feel very energized and like I can give more. I just celebrated a birthday yesterday, half a century plus, and still feel very young at heart, probably younger now than I ever felt. So that's my story in short.
Wow, that's very impressive. And you have a wonderful story to share with our listeners. It seems like Art of Living and all these practices acted as a catalyst and boosted your career. Do you agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So our next question is, Dr. Peri, could you please share some of the major challenges in your profession where these practices helped you come out of the situation?
Sure. You know, I will just share basically the challenges that most of us feel. And the practices can help anybody in any situation, but some of the challenges that most of us in medical field, medical career as caregivers, healthcare workers face is that, number one, work-life balance. You know, we're in a profession that's very giving. So for us to make time for our own selves and our own families can be a challenge. Imagine that when I was maintaining a relationship, which now I'm married 28 years and raising two young kids, the types of challenges that I had to face, I'm sure a lot of people in the audience can relate to that and resonate with that. I still remember very clearly the time when my son was graduating from Cub Scouts to the regular Scouts. There's that beautiful ceremony of passage that they do. It was at 6 p.m. on a Saturday evening, and I was on call that weekend, but I was hopeful to finish everything by then and go for the ceremony. Unfortunately, as luck would have it, I got so busy at every hospital that I had to go to, I was working probably till 9 p.m. that night. So I had to let go of this wonderful ceremony.
Oh, so sorry to hear that.
There are many times that we are on call for holidays. So we try to balance it by being there for the kids to open the Christmas presents, but then we have to run back to the hospital, take care of patients. You may be in the middle of dinner and you'll get calls that you have to take. So that constant balancing act can be an energy drain for all of us and is an energy drain for all of us. The second thing, like I said, is we are in a giving profession, and a lot of times patients and families, they are sick. The patients are sick, so they can be fairly demanding, sometimes unreasonably so. Yet, we just have to be very patient and professional about it and continuously be in the giving position without losing our temper or balance. Families can be very demanding. We're not sitting in front of a computer driving algorithms, not that I'm making that any simpler, but dealing with families and people takes a lot of energy from you. And if we don't make the effort of recharging, then we can get burnt out very quickly. Then there's always this liability and litigation. Anybody who has gone through even one single lawsuit understands the amount of energy drain that can be on us and the fear that it creates around that. It totally takes away the joy of giving and that fear of liability. Then there's the whole gamut of regulations, rules and regulations. We're out there trying to help people in spirit. Of course, we need to have some structure and framework to keep people from taking advantage of it. Having said that, when it gets to be too much, it is too much. And every one of us is in that situation now where the rules have gotten in the way of taking care of our patients. The electronic health records, when they have entered our lives, that really took away a big chunk of our private time. Because now these computers and the charts don't leave us. They're there with us on our vacations, in our evenings, in our nights. We just don't have any downtime, really speaking. So the EHRs and the rules and regulations, and of course, you know, difficult relationship, whether it be with your boss or colleague or patients like we talked about. So all of these are challenges that we have to face. And how do the tools, for one thing, like I talked about, every one of this is an energy drain. And if you don't recognize it as such and start recharging ourselves, then we get burnt out very soon. We all tend to be high energy individuals. So we tend to give quite well. Then when we sleep, we recharge. We eat well, hopefully, and recharge. And we exercise and we recharge. These are three tools that are available to every one of us. But one of the most valuable tools that I cherish quite a bit is my breathing and meditation. That really allows me to recharge at a much deeper level on a daily basis. And those are my tools, Nitu.
Wow, very, very impressive, Dr. Ushaji. It's quite challenges that you have faced in your career. And, you know, I'm sure this is what we discussed the other day with Dr. Tom Burns about physician burnout. Exactly, this is my goal, to teach all these doctors. And it's not only with doctors, it's with other professions too, because all those professionals, they are too much into their jobs and they want to give their best, right? As a result, their families get suffered.
And this is an epidemic right now, Mitu, you're right, because the times have changed. The social connectivity, the internet, the gadgets, what they're doing is they have achieved their intention, which is keeping us connected 24/7. I think now the challenge, the ball is back in our court in how to utilize this technology in our best interest, how to start drawing boundaries. Without that, it's not possible for us to maintain our sanity as a humanity.
Completely agree, because we have observed that people are so much into social media platforms. They are sitting on the dinner table next to each and they're on their own devices. So I believe all this technology have taken people under the same roof away from each other. Yes.
Absolutely.
So our next discussion is, what is sky breathing technique? How does it help busy professionals and doctors like you?
Yes. So when I talked about my breathing and meditation practice, it is that sky breath meditation, which is an acronym for Sudarshan Kriya Yoga Breath and Meditation. It is a very powerful breathing technique that's been given to this world as a gift by Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, the founder of Art of Living Foundation and International Association of Human Values, IAHV for short. This gift was given to us about 40 years ago, 38 to 40 years ago. Sri Sri, a very learned, wise man from India, has cognized this technique after being in silence for 10 days on the banks of River Tunga in 1982 in Bangalore. Breath has this real power to help dissociate our mind from our body. Have you ever observed that? When things are going kind of crazy, we take a deep breath, kind of like a sigh. It happens very naturally to all of us, right? You probably also observed that little kids when they have a temper tantrum, they just stomp their feet. And what do? They do, as well. So breath has this very interesting physiologic effect on our body where it resets. It's a reset button for our brain. And beyond that, if you notice, when we're sad, we breathe a certain way. And when we're angry, our breath changes. So for every emotion, there's an associated breathing pattern. Now, the ancient seers and the yogis have figured that if you reverse that and we breathe a certain way, we have much better ability to manage our emotions and our mind. And that's exactly what Sri Sri has come up with, the Sudarshan Kriya Yoga breath meditation technique. And I do this about 20, 25 minutes every day. And rest of the day, it feels like I'm much more in an equilibrium, you know, much more centered. The ability to handle my day is so much better. And like we were talking about, I feel in control. So I can use my gadgets. I can use the social media. I can set my boundaries. And I have developed that skill over a period of time where I'm in control and I can use everything at my behest as a tool in my toolkit. So that's the effect of Sudarshan Kriya breath meditation. And I think it has value for everybody who's breathing, can use it. For busy professionals like myself, what it does is it allows us to recharge, rejuvenate, and be in control.
You're listening to the Wealth Evolution Club podcast. Stay tuned to evolve from rich to wealthy and create a life of freedom that's not dependent on a paycheck. You're highly educated, work long hours, earn exceptionally good money, yet you have no freedom, fun, or fulfillment. Most of your paycheck is going to high taxes, big mortgages, and big credit card payments to maintain an affluent lifestyle. But what happens if you're unable to work due to an injury? Will you be able to keep up with the payments? And will you ever be able to comfortably retire? We want to help you live a life of financial freedom. Visit WealthEvolutionClub.com to learn more and get the free book, DNA of Wealth.
What is meditation?
Yeah, what a beautiful question. Meditation seems to be the buzzword and the universal solution for all problems today. And there's lots of them out there as well, headspace, calm, etc. So it's an important question to ponder on. What do you think, Mithu, is meditation? I know you meditate some, but what do you think some of the mainstream people think about meditation as?
So for me, meditation is when I am lost within me. Mm. I am not doing anything. I'm not thinking about my work. I'm just out there in the universe.
Wonderful. Yeah. So when people think of meditation, they're thinking a variety of different things. They're thinking focus, they're thinking concentration. They're thinking of something that's yet another doing, like you go to the gym, you work out. When we're breathing, the breath work is also doing. But meditation, on the other hand, is a fine art of doing nothing. Now, that may sound cliched. And one of my colleagues that I was trying to send her to a meditation course of silence, she was like, wow, why do I need to pay so much money to be silent and to do nothing? So my answer was very short. And it's like, because this day and age, doing nothing is a challenge. Have you ever seen when I propose this to people that's like, oh my God, I don't know what to do if I'm not doing anything? That has become an epidemic as well, where we are constantly having to do something to keep ourselves occupied. Our minds have gotten that way, very busy. Yeah. So meditation is a fine art of doing nothing because we're disengaging from the world. From the time we wake up in the morning, through our senses, we're constantly engaged in our surroundings. We're taking in information. And when our senses are taking in stuff, for example, we're eating or drinking constantly, we're seeing, we're taking in information constantly, we're listening constantly. All this information has to be processed somewhere. And that processing unit, let's just call it the mind. So our mind stays very busy. And just these two activities drain us of our energy. And that's why towards the end of the day, we do feel tired. And if we don't recharge, then we'll use up all that energy that's within us and we don't make very good decisions. We start acting like zombies and that is burnout. So meditation is a very easy way to recharge. And that has to do with we disengage consciously. Not when we sleep. When we're asleep as well, we're disengaging and we're letting the body recover. And that's why sleep is such an important component of recovery and recharge. But meditation does the same thing in a very effective and efficient way, but in a different way than sleep, which is you're conscious. The biggest difference between deep sleep and meditation is that you're conscious, you're awake while you're meditating. And when we do it with that awareness, then the type of benefits, the physiologic benefits that the body gets is actually exponential. They say if you meditate 20 minutes effectively, you get the same physiologic effects that 4 hours of deep sleep can give your body. So it's that fine art of disengaging from the world while you're still conscious that allows for that mind to expand, not stay focused actually, and allows you to reconnect with that you inside and experience the field of infinite possibility. That is true recharge. That is true rejuvenation. And that is meditation. Yes.
Wow. I got so recharged just by hearing about it. I am into meditation. So it seems like you are entirely into a beautiful bird, so blessed, so relaxed. Thank you for sharing about this. I have heard, you know, many people, many busy professionals, they always come with the excuse, I'm so busy, I don't have time to do meditation. So how can someone find time to do meditation in their busy schedule?
So a beautiful question, a very practical question. And there are twofold answer to it, right? One is when you start experiencing the benefits of it, mm-hmm. then you automatically will make time for it. Isn't that the truth, Mithu? For example, no matter how busy we are, we don't skip taking a bath or brushing our teeth, do we?
Absolutely no.
Because we know what happens if we don't do it. We start stinking and we don't want ourselves that way. And we don't want other people around us. You know, we don't want to be around us and impose ourselves.
Or maybe other people don't want us to be around them.
Exactly. Imagine emotionally, if you don't clear yourself up, and we know we've been around people like that, right? Who are stressed, and anytime you touch them, they're kind of exploding or just ready to explode. Have you been around anybody like that?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I have been.
All of us.
And maybe in the past, I was like that when I was not into meditation and all.
Exactly.
Sometimes there were some instances when I was like that.
Absolutely. And you know, that's the truth. I'm not trying to hold myself holier than thou here. There are times mm-hmm. when I get that way as well. But now I have a tool in my toolkit. When I find myself getting that way, then I just take 10 minutes time out, sit, breathe, and meditate. And then when I come out, I'm a better person automatically. Okay. So this is an ongoing process. It's not like I'm already there and done with. It's a moment-to-moment practice. But amount of self-awareness I've built over this time, someone else doesn't have to tell me. Something major doesn't have to happen before I wake up to it. Within 10 minutes, I recognize, oh, you know, I'm not being very pleasant to people around me. So let me just time out and center myself. So when we start feeling that benefit, see, now nobody has to tell me. I do that on my own, right? So that's one way of looking at it. The second way of looking at it is to say, you know, I have myself dealt with this challenge. When people are doing well and I tell them, come meditate, they say, well, I'm doing well. I don't really need it. Now, right now, nobody's doing well in the healthcare profession in that there's so much COVID out there. Every one of us is overworked. And when I invite them, they're like, I don't have time to do this. I'm just too busy taking care of people. And if I'm not too busy, I'm just need time to crawl and sleep. Or some people take to alcohol to help relieve their stresses, right? So, and again, no judgment. I'm just saying these are all temporary. So at some point, people have to wake up and say, look, neither of these are really working well for me. Now, when things are going well and I'm in my comfort zone, what am I doing? I'm doing the same things over and over again that bring me temporary happiness, right? Whatever we do, getting together with friends, entertainment, travel, these are all great, but they're only temporary and they're not permanent solutions. Like I told you in the beginning, I loved root cause, mystery, solving, diagnostics, right? So when I went through that whole cycle, I realized all those things that are out there as something that help you unwind are all temporary. They just do not have the same type of lasting effects that meditation has. So that burning desire within you has to wake up as well to say, look, you know, you may or may not have experienced it yourself, but you've seen other people around you who've experienced it. Me too, like yourself, myself, those who have adapted this lifestyle and have gone a long ways in our lives. I have progressed on this path the same way. I looked at all these wonderful people around me, highly educated, at the same time, making meditation part of their life, you know, refining their lifestyles. And in the process, it's not just for themselves. They're being a guiding light to others, and they're helping so many other people. So these were my role models. And of course, you have 6,000 years of history, which shows that these tools and techniques have served humanity for 6,000 years and continue to do so. There's a lot of science and research behind these tools, which tell you that they are really long-lasting effects in your physiology, on your cognition, and in your DNA, actually. So when we have all of this evidence, then you just say, you know what? I'm going to develop the discipline of making this part of my life and allowing this to transform me just the way it has millions of other people. So those are the two things. Now, mental hygiene for me, just like dental hygiene, but also recognizing that this is something long-lasting. It's valuable. This is my diamond, and I'm going to hold on to it.
Wow, so powerful. You are associated with IAHV organization. What is this organization about? Could you please share more details? How it has impacted millions across the globe?
Absolutely. Yes, as I was mentioning, Sri Sri, the founder of Art of Living Foundation, has also created this very beautiful organization called the International Association of Human Values. Whereas the mission vision of Art of Living is a stress-free, violence-free society by creating an empowered individual. So we teach these breathing and meditation techniques, strengthen each individual, and by building a community of strong individuals, we're creating stress-free, violence-free communities. We take the exact same tools and techniques into ecosystems now, such as schools, prisons, returning veterans, and you think of any other ecosystem that requires corporations, and these tools and techniques have been taken into these ecosystems and creating transformation. In the Prison Smart, it used to be called Prison Smart. It's got a new name now, and I don't remember that, but there's rehabilitation, there's true rehabilitation at the level of the soul and the spirit. And so these people coming out don't have to go back into that cycle of crime. In schools, in inner city schools, this transformation, the recidivism, the school to prison pipelines are being totally disrupted. And these kids are coming out with higher grades, better performance, less number of suspensions, et cetera, to where schools are taking them on. So this is about transforming communities and giving back to the society, like you talk about. So it's a huge wave of serving the community using breath and meditation as tools.
Wow, very impressive. We all are so thankful and grateful for this beautiful organization called IAHV organization. Thank you so much, Gurudev. Thank you, Dr. Perry, for adding tremendous value to our listeners. How can our listeners reach out to you?
My email is very simple, lastname, firstname@yahoo.com, Perry, P-E-R-I, Usha at yahoo.com. My telephone number is 214-356-3428. You can reach me that way. And our website is artofliving.org or iahv.org. If you want to learn a little bit more about the experience of breathing and meditation, we do lots of one-hour free session called the introductory sessions. And Mituji will be posting that link. And you're welcome to log in and join any of these introductory sessions to explore this a little bit better. We'll have volunteers. And I invite every one of you to come join us in one of these sky breath meditation workshops, which are just 8 hours long over 3 days, just a couple of hours each day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And invest that. You're all big into investing. Invest that time into yourselves, and you'll start reaping tremendous benefits of being peaceful, joyful, making great decisions, and finding whatever your life goals are. You know, whatever we're doing as a profession, it comes naturally to us. But through what we do, finding joy and peace and being truly fulfilled and contented, that requires some work. And that is the path that we take you on. We give you those tools. We create that community for you. And I'm inviting you to come join that community as well.
Wow. Sounds like we have some similar goals.
Yes.
Now we sign off. Until next time, Wealth Nation, live a life that is filled with freedom, fun, and fulfillment. And we will meet again in 2 weeks. Thank you.
Thank you, Meetu.
This has been the Welcome to the Wealth Evolution Club podcast. If you're a doctor, medical professional, engineer, CEO, or other elite professional, we want to help you live a life of financial freedom. Visit WealthEvolutionClub.com to learn more and get the free book, DNA of Wealth.